Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John, the 19th chapter. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priest answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
Thank you.
So Pilate delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And again another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is put away.
He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we give thanks to you that on this night, through the blood of your own dear Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, you have restored your righteousness to all mankind. Strengthen us now in the hope and the promises that you have kept for us through Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. The events that happened tonight, years ago, at that hill outside of Jerusalem, Golgotha, these events are the result of God making a promise to you. The events that have gone on this evening are recorded by St. John when he says this. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has bore witness. His testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. Many times we make promises, and most of the time we make them rather lightly. Oh, I promise I'll be at your birthday. Oh, I promise I'll be at the family reunion. We make those promises fully expecting that we're going to go, and then in a year, things have changed. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't make it. I have to work. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't be there because I've moved and now I'm 4 hours away. The results of living in a world where things change cause us to break our promises. Sometimes we make that promise and we don't really want to be there. We make the promise to keep people happy, but we never really intend on keeping it. And then when the event gets close, we have to look for that perfect excuse that will just let us off the hook and still make us look good. Because in reality, we lied to them. We never intended to keep our promise. We make promises and we say things like, I'll always love you. And then a few years later, we break our word. It's too hard. This isn't what I expected. This isn't what I wanted. I want out. We break our promises. The hurt is too great. I'm done. The cost of loving you and living with you is too high. I can't do it anymore. I want out. I'm done. And we break that promise to the one that we loved because we can't get by our own selfishness. We make promises as baptismal sponsors. We promise that we'll pray for that child every day, that we'll make sure they're brought up in God's word. We'll make sure that if the parents aren't being as faithful as they should be, that we will help. And it doesn't take long, months, maybe even years. And before long, we've forgotten altogether about our promise. And we're not watching so that child receives the same promises that we've received. We make promises to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And that works really well until another God comes along that we would much rather worship. And then we forget God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier. It's a good thing that tonight isn't about us keeping our promises. It's a good thing that tonight isn't about us being really sorry for the things that we've done, because we would all fail completely. Good Friday is all about God keeping a promise to you. The events that led to tonight, to today, started when God made a promise. God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree in the center of the garden, and Adam and Eve promised that they wouldn't. And then they did. And sin came into the world, and with sin came death. And in the midst of that, God came and found Adam and Eve hiding in their broken promises, hiding in their sin, and he made a promise to them. I will send you a Redeemer. I will send you a Savior, and he will shed his blood for you, and he will crush Satan's head, but Satan will crush his heel. God made a promise there in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve broke theirs. God didn't come to destroy Adam and Eve. He didn't come to reprimand them. He came to love them, to love them back to the point where he would restore them through the events that went on this day when the Lamb of God shed his blood for us. Always with sin in the world, always with broken promises, blood has to be shed, flesh has to die for our sin to be covered. Years later, from the Garden of Eden, years later at the tabernacle, people would bring an offering to the tabernacle. It was called a sin offering. And it was brought there to atone for their sins. And the person would bring, the man would bring the animal, either a lamb or a goat or a bull, and he would bring it to the priest, and before it's slaughtered, the man would put his hands on the head of the animal. And the priest would reach underneath and cut the neck and catch the blood. And the blood was taken over to the altar and poured on the altar for an offering, a sin offering for that person's blood, for that person's sin. That blood shed that day would not forgive their sins, but it was a promise that God would indeed send one who would shed his own blood for that person, for this person, and for you, for the forgiveness of all of our sins. The lifeblood would be poured out on the altar, and by the pouring out of that blood, sins would be forgiven. Blood would always have to be shed for us to be forgiven. Flesh always had to die for us to be restored. Look at the great lengths that God our Father would go to so that we would be forgiven. His own dear Son, God Almighty, would leave the glory and the majesty of heaven and would take on a humble human form and be born of a Virgin Mary into a world that he created. And he would live in this world humbly, serving and living and being put under the law. Jesus' very blood would be shed when he's only 8 days old, as he was circumcised, as he was placed under the law that he would never break, but that he would hold and fulfill for us completely. The last 24 hours of Jesus' life are often interpreted by us as an injustice, as extreme suffering. We're taught that when we look at his arrest, his beatings, when we look at the soldiers and they mock him and the nails and the thieves on the cross, we're taught to look at this through the eyes of our emotion. Look at poor Jesus. Look at the cruel way he was mistreated. Look at the pain and look at his suffering. And certainly our emotions allow us to see how Jesus suffered. But instead of seeing the events of Good Friday through our emotions, we should see the events of Good Friday through our sin. Because this is what sin does. Sin kills. Sin destroys. Sin takes what is good and holy and twists it into something else. Sin always tries to take everything and everyone that would bring us to the holiness of God and pull us away. Sin always will destroy everything that tries to pull us from our own selfishness. The chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, all of those that were there that were conspiring to kill Jesus, they did it so that they could remain in their own world, so that they could remain confident in the fact that they could justify themselves by what they determined was holy living, that they could live a holy and a righteous life enough to fulfill all the demands of the law. We can't work hard enough to satisfy the demands of the law. We can't be holy enough to keep God's law completely. And we certainly cannot justify ourselves. So instead of seeing Jesus as the promise of forgiveness from God, they seek to kill him, to move this mocker out of the way so they can continue to live in their own sin. Now let's look at the crucifixion from a different light. Let's look at the crucifixion through the love and the promise of our Father. We see it as extreme suffering. We see Jesus suffering and his death and people making an example of him and all of the gruesomeness of this night as we hear Jesus cry out, "It is finished," and give up his spirit. We see the nails, the flogging, the mocking, and Jesus owned death itself as God completing his promise to you. Nothing, none of that would stop God from keeping his promise to shed innocent blood, the blood of the perfect Lamb for you. His blood shed on the cross, his body pierced for you, his life given that your life may be redeemed. We hear from the cross, from Jesus there, "Father, forgive them. Today you'll be with me in paradise. It is finished." And these are all assurances that God continues to keep his promise to you. That the events that happened on this day so many years ago in Jerusalem are events of hope and promise and forgiveness for you. Jesus forgave all through his death. We have some new banners. If you look up there at that banner, look, the Lamb of God that shed his blood for the sins of the world, for all in the world, for the Roman guards that mocked him, for the blood of Jesus was shed for the thieves on the cross next to him, for both thieves. The blood of Jesus was shed for those who stood at his cross and cried because of his death. The blood of Jesus was shed for you, for your forgiveness, for Adam and for Eve and for all people, for all nations, for all sin, no matter how disgusting, no matter how disgraceful we think they are, all sins are forgiven by Jesus on the cross, the perfect Lamb of God, shedding his innocent blood for you, for your forgiveness. When Jesus had given up his spirit, the guards wanted to make sure that the crucified were all dead, so they began to break the legs of the two thieves. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead, they didn't break his legs. Instead, a soldier took a spear and pierced his side. And when they pierced his side, blood and water came out. These are ongoing promises for you. These promises right here that the water of holy baptism that brings us into the kingdom of God and connects us to Christ, our sacrifice, have forgiven you all of your sins, have given you faith and connected you to this very day where Jesus gave his life for you. The blood and the body of Jesus given and shed for you as it's laid in our mouths and we eat it in our bodies is for you for the forgiveness of sins. These events, the blood and the water, are God continuing to keep his promise to you. You are forgiven by the blood of the Lamb shed on the cross for you. Today is not a day for us to feel bad for Jesus and think that somehow if we feel terrible, then we're more forgiven. Today is a day to recognize that God has kept his promise at great cost because he loves you. And he would move heaven and earth and give his own dear son for you, that you will live in the forgiveness, the hope, and the promise that your sins are forgiven. God has kept his promise as our Savior has given his blood for you, his body broken for you. The blood of the sinless Lamb of God has been shed. The Lamb has taken away the sins of the world, and you, dear child of God, are forgiven because of God's great love in keeping his promise to our first parents that has given you forgiveness of sins. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.